Welcome to Secret to My Success. You're going to hear fascinating stories from the people and personalities who found their success in business and in life. Now here's your host, Alan Bornstein.
Good day. This is Alan, Secret to My Success, here with my buddy Dawn.
Good day, Alan.
I think from now on you need to sing Delta Dawn. At the beginning?
You don't want me singing.
I don't?
No.
You can't sing?
No.
Couple drinks?
No, you know what?
Little karaoke?
Maybe with a couple cocktails. And I can harmonize pretty good with some people, but...
You can?
Otherwise, yeah.
You like karaoke?
Depends on how much alcohol I've had.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. I definitely, if I'm going to get up and sing, I need those alcohol.
I've done karaoke in foreign countries where nobody knew me, so it didn't really matter. So
that's perfect.
Exactly.
Well, you know what? I've been in places where I don't know anybody, but still, it's just, I guess it's that fear factor, right?
Really?
I mean, I'll sing at home, sing in the car, sing in the shower. Yeah, but.
You always sound better in the shower, don't you?
Always. It's, yeah, always.
It's the acoustics.
Or the car, you know, it's cranked up and you're just like singing.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Well, we have an incredible guest today.
I'm excited. This is good. It's an important topic.
It's a great topic.
Mm-hmm.
We have Lori Long. Lori, thanks for being with us. She's actually written a book called Bipolarized.
Okay.
Is it bipolarized or bipolarized?
Bipolarized, one word.
Okay, so let's talk about you first.
Okay.
Lori, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Cool. So you wrote a book. So what gives you qualifications to write a book?
Well, I've been a licensed mental health counselor for 35 years. I've had...
Hold on one second. Dawn, did you hear that?
I heard that.
We bring these people in all the time for
it.
You.
I love
psychotherapy.
It.
Psychotherapy.
I do love it.
Hold on. You do psychotherapy?
Yeah. And a
so
lot
like
of hypnotherapy.
So if she's a psycho, you can give her therapy?
Absolutely.
You hear that?
Thank you, Alan.
I do a lot of hypnotherapy.
I appreciate you always thinking of me.
I'm always thinking. Hypnotherapy.
Listen, I mean, it's so important. Mental health these days is so...
Critical.
Right. And... Mm-hmm. Right.
Now... Can you hypnotize her into thinking that she likes me?
Absolutely.
You hear that? She can do that.
There's hope.
You know, it was funny. Somebody told me as a hypnotist that I can't convince you to do something that you normally wouldn't do. Okay? I couldn't convince you to jump out of a building on the 10th floor. But I could hypnotize you and get you to believe there was a fire and you're on the second floor.
Oh.
And that you could jump. Isn't that a little weird? Is that so strange? Is that true?
Hypnotherapy is different than hypnosis.
So let's hear about that.
Okay, so let's get back to you asked her what qualifies her to write the book. So we didn't
keep
get
them on track.
You're gonna keep me on track?
I'm gonna have to.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I have two boys. My oldest son was diagnosed with bipolar disorder when he was 17.
So you've walked the walk.
100%. And I basically raised him over all these years. And so this book is a first and foremost a memoir of my life as a mother raising a child with a challenging disorder.
Okay.
I always thought that because I'm a licensed mental health counselor, I was adequately prepared to handle the challenges of this disorder, and I was completely wrong. Because when it's your own life and your own kid, it's different.
It's different when you're living it, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So even with all the experience I've had helping other people with the disorder, I still made many, many mistakes along the journey of mothering him.
What made you aware of your mistakes? I mean, at the time, you didn't think it was a mistake.
Right. Like, for instance, when he went into the first psychiatric hospital, he was a senior in high school. So I thought it would be helpful to invite a few of his friends to visit. But he was mortified.
Mortified, yeah.
Because he didn't want his friends to see him in that setting. So I thought it was being supportive, and in fact it backfired, and he never forgave me for it. He still remembers it.
Oh, wow.
To this day. So you think you're doing something that's helpful and supportive, but it's not always that way.
Which the experience helped you then help other people. You were already helping them, but then having to experience yourself, you were, I'm guessing, able to give back more to your clients.
Yeah, more feedback and words of advice as to what to avoid, what to avoid doing. And a lot of people are not clear about a loved one having the disorder. The two things that seem to be common among all people who have bipolar disorder is not sleeping very well. I ask people two questions. How well are you sleeping? And invariably they say, I don't sleep. Or maybe an hour a night. And the second question is, how much do you spend? How often do you spend money that get you in trouble? You know, that may get you in trouble. Excessive gambling, buying everybody drinks at the bar, buying drugs, shopping.
Hey, Don, we might have a problem with you.
And we'll talk about that later.
And okay. Inevitably, a person says, oh, yeah, well, I just bought this purse on Amazon for like $150 and another one for $500, and I don't use either one, but I just felt compelled to buy it.
So is that like that compulsion? Is that that's a big part of the bipolar disorder?
Yeah, that is. Those two criteria are very common and typical for those with the disorder.
So is there a typical thing that a bipolar person buys, or could it be anything?
Well, anything.
Women, there's no common, like no. You're buying 150 pocketbooks every week?
Yeah. So what would be some of the personality, besides those things, that, say, people could watch out for, say, for a family member or even yourself? And do you find, like, people who have it, do they recognize it? And what have you seen for that as far as mm-hmm. people being aware and saying, well, this is what I have and this is how I can deal with it?
Most people are in denial
right.
that they have it. They don't want to admit to having anything. There's a term called anorexia, which is the neurological inability to accept that one has a mental illness or really any illness. They may say, well, I don't have lung cancer. I can keep smoking cigarettes, or I don't have diabetes. I can keep eating sugar. So they're just not able to accept mm-hmm. that they have some kind of disorder. And it's not denial.
It's just being a man.
No, it's not denial. It's actually
my heart's going to go forever.
It's actually a neurological disorder.
Okay.
They've been able to identify in the prefrontal lobe
right.
where there's a difference in people who have anorexia. It's hard to say. It took me 3 years to learn how to say it. So the other part of this book that I think is really helpful, the last 20 pages of the book, is a whole resource section. So it explains where people can get help. The National Association for the Mentally Ill is an extremely helpful, beneficial organization available to help loved ones.
That's mm-hmm. NAMI.
That's NAMI.
We had the director of NAMI in here.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, last mm-hmm. Valentine's Day.
Wow. And I also break down different forms of bipolar disorder. I talk about medication, mm-hmm. where to go for help, conservatorship, how to do a Marchman Act. Marchman Act is for those who have an addiction, how to do the Baker Act or involuntary treatment. In Florida, we call it the Baker Act.
Baker Act
other
yeah.
states call it different things like involuntary treatment. So the last 20 pages is a helpful guide for people who need more information.
Without being, you know, I guess, pinpointing to it, but it's something that we've experienced or I've experienced, you know, with friends and family and, yeah, all of it.
Yeah, it seems to me that almost everyone is touched by this disorder.
By a mental, right.
They, you know, my daughter's boyfriend, I think, has it. My neighbor, my aunt, my ex-husband. It seems like you can't talk to anybody who hasn't been affected by this disorder. A lot of, this is an interesting statistic I've read recently, a lot of the kids who've gone through the pandemic, you know, I see quite a few adolescents in my practice. Many of them have social phobias. There's, the prediction is that there'll be a 25% increase among that age group, which is now, you know, in their like adolescents, preteens, who will develop bipolar disorder as well. So this is not going away, and mm-hmm. that's why I wrote the book. Not only to help people who have gone through it themselves. I've had several people read it who had parents with this disorder, raising a child with this disorder, and the feedback I get is, for the first time in my life, I don't feel so alone. I don't feel like I'm such a failure, because obviously you were a failure. No, I'm kidding. I said I never really felt like a failure, because I really believe it's their journey. But people don't feel so alone when they read the book.
Let me ask you a very simple question. Your son was mad when you had him put into a hospital and you brought his friends trying to support him. Right on the front of this is the weathering the storms of loving a bipolar son. What's your son's opinions of this, and how old is he now?
He is going to be 37.
Okay.
In a week.
Mom?
He's not real happy about it.
Okay.
I hope he doesn't read the book anytime soon, at least. But the explanation I've given him is, I wrote the book to help other people.
Right.
Yeah.
Your experience is right. a methodology in which we can help others
Correct.
That don't have to suffer.
So some people who have read the book have actually said that they feel like my son was the hero because of what he's endured and survived and lived through it. And now he's doing remarkably well, thank goodness.
Good for him. Good for you.
What age did you realize that he had this disorder? And did you start him on any kind of medication? And is he currently still taking any kind of medication?
So my dad had the disorder, and he's a lot like my dad. So I kind of in the back of my head always wondered if he would inherit it, which he did. I saw signs when he was 17. He, at that age, kids do not want to be on medication. They don't like the stigma of medication. Mm-hmm. They refuse to take it. Even, you know, when he was in college, I'd give him a full bottle of lithium, go visit him, and it would still be just as full as when I dropped it off. So, you know, it's real difficult. It's very difficult to get them to be medication compliant. One of the things that I've found to be extremely helpful is for him to completely stay away from alcohol, because when he doesn't drink, which he hasn't for the last 3 years, he is able to stay stable even without medication, because he's exercising, he's eating proper food, he's getting proper rest, and he's staying focused on his goals of working and being a responsible citizen.
I want to go back to chapter 23, the Seminole Hard Rock Casino episode. Tell us about this.
This is where he went to a Dolphins game with his girlfriend, the mother of his daughter, and they were drinking too much, went to the Seminole Casino, got into an argument. She called the police. He went to jail.
Wow.
So he spent many times. He spent probably, I would say, half of his adult life behind bars.
Which is common. And hopefully he realizes that these stories and these things will help other people.
I hope so.
Like, I mean, and my kids know, like, my daughter suffers from mental illness, and she's been diagnosed with different things over the years, and she's pretty open about it. I mean, she's getting more open and trying to get, like, the family to understand and how to us not react to her. You know, like, I have family members who don't believe in mental illness. Like, if you can't see it, it's not real. I have an uncle who, he's since passed, but he had Down syndrome. So that for them was like believable, right? Because you could see it. That's like, you know, you have a broken arm, you can see it. But if you can't physically see something,
it's not tangible.
Right. Yeah, like, okay. Like there's, again, and we have family members who really struggle with, like, and she'll tell you, like, oh, she doesn't believe it, like, suck it up and get over it, which makes me angry, you know, and it upsets my daughter because she's really trying to educate herself and help herself. My son, too, I mean, he struggles, but he's like total denial. And he has spent a lot of time in and out of jail and the temper tantrums and just like all that stuff and the fighting. Mm-hmm. And yeah.
One of the things that I emphasize in this book and I love to talk about is criminal reform. So I started a nonprofit corporation called Comprehensive Offender Rehab and Reentry for people who are just getting out of prison to help them reenter society.
Because prison doesn't prepare anybody for society. It's just, it's punishment.
Because they're not, especially for, like the younger kids or somebody who, there is opportunity for
it
them
It actually
to
probably makes
them.
It worse, though. When they're incarcerated, it does not help bipolar.
The real fact of the matter is that we incarcerate people instead of giving them the help they need. I always say if we take all the people who have mental illness out of prison and put them into a treatment program of some kind to deal with their mental illness and to be properly evaluated, and all the people who have an addiction and put them into some kind of an addiction treatment facility, there would be nobody left in the prisons, in the jails, maybe just a few handful of sociopaths. So in our country, we've done a horrible job at helping those who need help. Other countries have done a much better job than we have.
I can tell, as you're talking about this, that this subject is very close to your heart.
Yes.
And I'm going to ask you something personal. You're saying your son's doing better now.
Yes.
At one point, did you ever feel physically threatened by the actions of your son?
Yes.
How'd you deal with that?
It was hard. I mean, I have another son.
Knock him out, no.
Yeah, I have another son who became a personal trainer so he could protect us.
Take him.
Really?
Yeah, he came after me with a big shovel one time. And luckily, my other son has some big friends who stopped him. And there were a couple of moments that were very scary.
And I'm sure at that point, you're in a little denial saying, how could my son be coming after his mother?
No, because being in the mental health field, I understand mental illness. And I know that when people, for instance, we know you have a child with mental illness. They mm-hmm. say things sometimes that they don't mean. And it's almost like being in an alcoholic blackout. When a mentally ill person, a bipolar person is manic, when they're having a manic episode, they literally black out. They don't remember it. They don't remember what they did. They don't remember what they said, maybe bits and pieces. So it's like, do I hate the disorder or I hate the person? Well, I hate the disorder. Right. And I try to, you have to extricate the person from the disorder. Right. You have to separate it.
Once they get, like what I found is, it's like once it starts and he gets going, like to reel him back in and get him like to calm down or whatever, and it just...
It escalates.
Yeah, it just goes and goes and goes, and then, so that's it. They're like they're not even aware, and they can't reel themselves back in. It takes a lot to get them to...
Calm down.
Calm down, right?
Yep, right.
What do you believe has been the biggest factor in your son's success at this point?
Good question. A couple of things. One is just the fact that he's getting older and more mature, and he's looking at his past saying, yeah, I don't want to go there again. I don't want to do that. I don't want to make another trip back to jail or prison. Secondly, he has a 9-year-old who he adores, and he really wants to be there for her. But I do believe the third factor would be the ongoing and unconditional love and support that he's received from myself and his dad.
Hmm. What about his wife?
He's not married.
Okay, but she's still been given
support.
In his
life? She's been support. So it's having people who still believe in you. I don't necessarily agree with the approach of tough love where you completely walk away and let them fail. I don't believe in that. I think they need the love and support. And I have a good friend who did that tough love and walked away, and the outcome was not as good as what I'm experiencing.
You just got to think at some point, though, parents, when they've had enough and they've tried everything and they figure they're just not getting anywhere, they just have to make their own lives better somehow, some way.
Yeah, you have to establish boundaries.
Yeah,
right.
You definitely do, and you have to say, okay, this is not acceptable. This is acceptable. This isn't. But when you see they're doing well and they're on the right track, you want to be there for them. You want to listen, because so often our loved ones don't feel like we listen. We use certain communication models. And that's really helpful. So and to totally reflect back what they're feeling and what they're saying and what they're experiencing is really important. Mm. And to go to therapy. Find a therapist who can help you navigate your way through this.
You're still doing therapy?
Oh, yes.
How does somebody reach out to you if they want to talk to you about this?
Just give me a call, 561-360-5050.
One more time, slow.
561-360-5050. My office is in Lantana, but I also do telehealth and FaceTime sessions.
How does somebody get your book?
So my book is on Amazon under books for Bipolarized. You'll see the book there.
Nice.
You're going to be doing book signings and local events.
I hope so. Yeah.
Please let us know when and where.
Absolutely.
Excellent. To get your book, go to Amazon, and it's Bipolarized, one word, by Lori Beth Long, and they should be able to get it right through Amazon.
Yes. And I really appreciate people doing reviews. So you go to the product review section and post a review. That's greatly appreciated. My publisher tells me I need 100 reviews in 6 weeks.
Okay. Are you offering to personalize this and sign this?
Yes, absolutely.
Yes?
Anyone who buys a book, I'm happy to sign it.
Okay. And you're going to have some events in Lantana? Love
yes.
Lantana.
Yes.
We're fellow members of the Lantana Chamber of Commerce.
Yep.
Excellent. I mean, it's not heavy reading. It looks like it's pretty quick. It's easy.
Yeah, it reads really quickly. I've known people who have read it in one day.
So what are the things you think are the most important for people who have the disorder or family members, like to share you shared some already, but what else would you give out to people as far as advice or, your wisdom and tools?
Yeah, the main thing is to reach out for help, not to be afraid to do that.
But people don't know where to reach. They're almost afraid, I think, sometimes that if they reach for help, it publicizes the issue, and I want this totally private. I don't want this to be out in the public for people to know. How do you dispel that?
Well, there are therapists that work on a sliding scale. You call the Mental Health Association of Palm Beach County and get a list of therapists who will work on a sliding scale in the event that you don't have insurance. However, at this point, almost anyone can get insurance, even if you have no income. You have the marketplace with Obamacare provides insurance. So you can get insurance. Oscar offers a good plan for no cost. And there are a lot of people like myself who are on.
Who's Oscar?
Oscar's an insurance company. And there are people like myself who are in network for companies like Oscar and will serve people in therapy. It's really helpful to go to therapy.
So if we said before about someone who has the disorder and they're kind of in denial with it, any advice or tips on how to help them, like, become aware or realize?
Would you engage them in an initial conversation to talk about?
But that's a really good question. There's a book called I'm Not Sick, I Don't Need Help by Xavier Hollander. Okay. Xavier Amador.
Amador.
And he says they don't have to admit that they have it. He says we don't want to shove it down their throats. Admit it, admit it, admit it, which was the old school therapeutic approach that in order to solve a problem, you have to admit that you have it. He says you don't have to do that. Instead, you find out what their goals are. So if their goal is to sleep better, and this is critical.
Yeah.
If they say, I just want to sleep better, we don't say, well, because you're manic, you're not sleeping. We say, let's talk about what you can do to sleep better. And these are the medications that will help you sleep better. So you don't say you're going to take this medication to get you off the mania so that you're stable. You say this would be a good medication for you to take to sleep better. So you find out what their needs are, what their goals are, and you get in their space and come from their perspective, and that's how you best help them.
Lifestyle is huge, right? That's one thing that I would stress to my son, but not that he, but like your diet, right? Exercise.
Right. That's all in the book, routines.
Helps. Like,
go to bed at the same time every night, get up at the same time, get some exercise, eat properly.
It makes a big difference.
Big difference, yes. Stay away from alcohol. Drink a lot of water.
Yeah. So there's a ton of questions that I could ask or keep going because, I mean, to me, this is touches home, right, for me. It hits me in my heart.
I know that, Dawn.
Yeah. And, I mean, from friends of, you know, lost lives, I have memorial tattoos from people that I've lost because of mental illness. You know, I've got more memorial tattoos on my body for things like that, which is sad. But
we need to pay attention to mental illness in this country.
Right.
Absolutely.
I could keep talking. But
so why don't we do this? Why don't we bring her back?
We are at a time. Yeah. We are at a time.
Why don't we bring her back and we can get really granular with this so that you can feel better and we can get information
to share? It's important. It's such a huge thing out there that it is becoming more open, I think, for people to talk about it, but there's still a stigma on it, and there's still, to me, a lot of people that don't believe in it, you know, and which is irritating for me, you know what I mean, because it is such a serious subject.
Right. Absolutely.
And when people discredit it and say, oh, it's not real, and you know, it's a choice, or you know, you just need to suck it up, to me that's like that's heartbreaking, you know, because the people who suffer, you know what I mean.
I know.
So
you mean.
I could keep going, but thank you for being here, and we are out of time. So.
Thanks for being here. Appreciate
it.
Best luck in sales.
Thank you so much.
How would you like a cleaning service that listens to your wants and needs and genuinely cares for your home? MisoClean is a top-notch cleaning service. They will go through your home and create a specific list just for you on your wants and needs. MisoClean is fully insured and bonded. If you want a top-notch cleaning service to take care of your home, call MisoClean at 561-303-5743. That is 561-303-5743.
Thanks for listening to The Secret to My Success. For more episodes, go on over to secrettomysuccess.com. That's secret, the number 2, mysuccess.com.